And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
You know, I think your brain produces a chemical that blocks out my voice.
What?
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Santa Barbara and Ventura Counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is Think Differently. Each of my guests is discussing a subject that requires us to think differently. My next guest will teach us how to find the best ideas and make them happen from his book on creativity and innovation titled The Idea Hunter. So if you want to get some creative ideas and want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. Bill Fisher has been hunting our ideas for a long time in a variety of different places. He's tried to put himself into places and positions where he has a higher probability of interesting things happening. He is presently a professor at IMD in Lausanne, Switzerland, where, among other interests, he specializes in the art and practice of successful innovation and the effective expression of talent. And he's an engineer by training, an American by citizenship, a New Yorker by birth and by attitude. Bill has lived much of his life in both Asia and Europe. He was on the faculty of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill for 20 years. He then moved to China in 1980, where he was the president and dean of the China European International Business School, that's the CEIBS for short, in Shanghai. Bill now lives in Lausanne, Switzerland with his wife. His family includes 3 children and 4 grandchildren. Bill's latest book is titled The Idea Hunter, which he co-authored with Andy Boynton. Welcome to the show, Bill. How are you today?
Thanks, Bill. It's great to be here. I'm doing good.
Well, thank you very much. And 20 years at the University of North Carolina, it's no wonder that you left for China. I'm a Duke graduate. I don't know how you stood 20 years at UNC.
Well, you know, and my wife said with no time off for good behavior either. So.
I like your wife already. But let's talk about your book, The Idea Hunter, How to Find the Best Ideas and Make Them Happen. Now, when you characterize somebody as an idea hunter, what do you mean by that?
I think we mean that they're conscious of the fact that most of the people that we deal with in the programs that we run at IMD are executives fairly senior in their organizations. They're not doing the heavy lifting. They're not running the machines. They're not driving the trucks. So they're adding value to their organizations, presumably through the value of the ideas they're associated with.
All right. So why would anybody want to be a great idea hunter? What's the value there?
I mean, I think the value is to sustain your career. I think that if you're being looked to by your organization to be somebody who is either at the forefront of ideas or pushing ideas, then you really need to have some facility for recognizing them and refueling the tank, if you will.
All right. Well, one of the things I found interesting in reading the book, Bill, is that you mentioned that brilliance is optional when it comes to developing new ideas. What are the key factors that led you to the conclusion that brilliance is only optional?
Well, you know, and I have to tell you, this is very reassuring, right? But what we discovered was that the smartest people in the room were often not the effectively smartest people. That people who had a facility with work, this is a very selfish book. We wrote this book because we looked around us and we saw some people were really good at working with ideas, and the rest of us, you know, tried to catch up. And so we went out and interviewed people, looked at them, talked to them, tried to figure out what made them so much better at working with ideas. And what we discovered, it was, if I summarize it, it was really consciousness. They knew what they were looking for. We call that their gig. And it was discipline. It was behavior. It wasn't more brain cells. It was that they did things in a conscious and disciplined fashion.
All right, well, let's drill down on that. You say it's consciousness or their gig, as you call it. Let's delve a little deeper into that. What do you mean by their gig? Can you give us some examples that might help conceptualize that for my listeners?
Yeah, in my own case, and I came to this pretty late, Andy Boynton, my co-author, and I wrote a book about 5 years ago called Virtuoso Teams, and in the process of writing that book, it suddenly became crystal clear to me that where I'd like to leave my mark professionally was around how to get more, in a non-exploitative sense, out of the talent that we assemble in our organizations. Most organizations we work with hire great people, turn them into average performers. I wanted to see how to reverse that. Once that became clear to me, and once I recognized that because of my background as an engineer and working in a variety of different places, that I had some skills that would let me, you know, effectively address this issue, then all of a sudden the ideas became abundant. So I go to movies. I see ideas about how to get more out of talent. I read novels. I see examples of how to do it. It's like Jim Koch, who founded the Boston Brewing Company, Sam Adams Beer. He said, you know, it was like being a radio receiver that wasn't turned on. He was being hit by ideas all the time. Once he figured out what his gig was, then the ideas were clear. It was like turning on the set.
All right. We're talking to Bill Fisher, author of the book, The Idea Hunter, How to Find the Best Ideas and Make Them Happen. Bill, I like your book because Idea Hunter, in the book, The Idea Hunter, it's actually an acronym. So let's go through the acronym together if we can, please, because these are all learnable skills. I is for interested, D is for diverse, E is for exercised, and A is for agile. So let's start first with interested, because it is the first letter. And talk to me about what do you mean the Idea Hunter has to be interested?
I think what we're trying to do is increase the probability that you're going to receive or be hit by a good new idea. If you think about when you get an idea in your own life that's really a good one, who do you go to first? Most often I'm told it's a spouse, it's a partner, it's a close friend, it's a colleague that you've worked with for a long time. The reason is because these people are truly interested. They're interested in you. They're interested in what you have to say. And they're interested in helping you make it a better idea. So if you can assume that persona, and I'm not talking about being Machiavellian, but I'm talking about if you can, in fact, work on your curiosity so that you really are interested in what other people have to say, you're going to raise the probability of learning new things.
All right, well, talk to me about curiosity, because that's a central part of being interested, according to your book. And I guess to make this point more clear, tell me the Henry Ford story out of the book about how he was more curious than he was intelligent. Because after all, Henry Ford just barely got out of the eighth grade educationally.
Right. Well, and the story we relate in the book that I think really typifies so much about Ford was that he was at an automobile race where there was a crash. It was a French car, a racing car. And as the workers were cleaning up the debris on the track, he went over and made a careful examination of the stuff that was left over. And what he found was a piece of alloy. It turned out to be a vanadium, a piece of vanadium that he had never seen before, but it was light, and he perceived it was strong. And it was that curiosity. Other people were looking at the wreck as, you know, a mess to be cleared up. He was looking at it as a source of new ideas.
So he was stealing ideas from out of the aftermath of an automobile wreck. But and another principle that really helps people to spend the time that they need to be curious, to be interested, is the principle of selling your best hour of the day to yourself. And you borrowed this from Charlie Munger, who is Warren Buffett's second in command over at Berkshire Hathaway. The man clearly knows something about investing and taking time for himself. What is the concept of selling the best hour of the day?
What Charlie Munger recognized was that he needed to reinvest in himself as a professional. He needed to stay up with the state of the art in his field. He needed to keep abreast of what was going on in the investment world. And if he did that, he would be better off. His clients would be better off. Warren Buffett, his partner, would be better off. And then he asked himself, when in fact did he take time to reinvest? And like so many of us, it's at the end of the day when we're tired and exhausted, not really fit for very much. That's the wrong time of the day to invest in your future. And so what Munger did was to be very introspective, figure out when the right time was for him, and set that time aside. And it didn't have to be an hour, and it didn't have to be every day, but it was a disciplined approach to keeping time where he was freshest and most energetic, and then spending that on learning for himself.
We're talking to Bill Fisher, co-author of the book, The Idea Hunter, How to Find the Best Ideas and Make Them Happen. An idea for them in their book is an acronym, stands for Interested, Diverse, Exercised, and Agile. And that brings us to the second letter, D for Diverse. Tell me this, if you will, Bill. What does the NCAA men's basketball tournament have in common with software programming?
Well, Jim Koch had the idea of creating something called Top Coder. If you think about software code writing, it's a very local skill. I can be the best code writer in my organization, but I can't really, nobody knows that. It's not a transferable sort of skill. It's not like being a baseball player where your data is publicly available for anybody. So Koch is a basketball lover. He loved March Madness, and what he created was a playoff, if you will, for code writers so that they could compete amongst their peers and essentially develop a ranking system that was public. So all of a sudden, I go from being a private performer to a performer who has statistics that are publicly, you know, accessible and understandable. And he opened up a way of taking expertise and making it very transportable in terms of a job market.
A very cunning idea on his part. We're talking to Bill Fisher. We're talking about his book, The Idea Hunter, and IDEA is an acronym for Interested, Diverse, Exercised, and Agile. That brings us to exercise. Bill, tell us the story about Scott Cook, who is the founder of Intuit, which is the maker of Quicken Software. How did he exercise innovation by using observation?
Well, one of the things that there's two things that are really interesting about Scott. One of the things that's interesting about him is that he has an attitude about him that makes everyone feel that whatever they're telling him is the most interesting thing he's ever heard. So that impression that he's the guy you want to tell your next good idea to because he's truly interested, that gives him a huge advantage over everyone else because he's the person I want to tell my next idea to. But beyond that, my daughter has worked for him. Beyond that, what Scott Cook never does is he never accepts an idea unless it's been tested with real customers. So when he's getting an idea from a colleague, he's not only the first person to basically hear the idea within the organization, but almost always, because they know how he works, it's an idea that's not only a dream, but it's practical because it's been tested as well.
Very interesting. Now, how he got his start with Quicken is also very interesting because he was using the powers of observation to create a new idea. Tell us the story about watching his wife at the kitchen table.
Right. So his wife did the bills in their household, and he would watch her sense of frustration over trying to make the numbers work and trying to keep everything in order. And he realized, and she was using paper and pencil, he realized there had to be a better way to do that. And so it was this recognition of her problem and the combination of an easy way to make it work that created Intuit.
Well, we're talking to Bill Fisher, author of the book, The Idea Hunter, where IDEA is an acronym that stands for Interested, Diverse, Exercised, and Agile. And that brings us to Agile. Give us the example of agility to tell us the story about West Side Story, how it went from a rumble between Italian Catholics and Jews in kind of a Romeo-Juliet love story to between whites and Puerto Ricans, the Leonard Bernstein story out here in Los Angeles.
Right. It was originally called East Side Story, and it was the dream of a great ballet choreographer, Jerry Robbins. And Robbins sought out an all-star team, Bernstein and Stephen Sondheim, Arthur Laurent, who just died a week or two ago. And he put this team together, but what they realized was that by the time they got around to making it work, the world had changed. And East Side Story between Jews and Catholics was no longer as compelling as the story of immigrant Puerto Ricans and self-styled Americans in New York. And so they moved it from the East Side to the West Side, and then they went out and they visited gangs. This was a time when gang warfare was much more prevalent in New York than it is today, thank God. And he learned from those gangs. He spoke to people that you and I would never speak to, and he was out there looking at how they walked, what they wore, in order to make it more authentic.
Ah, very good story. We're talking to Bill Fisher, author of the book, The Idea Hunter, How to Find the Best Ideas and Make Them Happen. And in your book, Bill, you say that a native New Englander, Henry David Thoreau, was the prototypic idea hunter. What do you mean by that?
Well, he was very observant. He was interested in everything that took place around him. His notebooks were exercises in thought and introspection. And, you know, he was agile. He moved around. He tested his ideas with friends before he launched them into the public domain. In a very small sense, he was a microcosm of all of the things we talked about in the book.
Ah, very good. We're talking to Bill Fisher. Bill, what do you want readers to take away from reading your book, The Idea Hunter?
I think two things. One is ideas matter. They matter for them as professionals, they matter for their organizations, and they matter for us as a society. And the second thing is that the way to generate better ideas is not to wish you were smarter, but to, in fact, be conscious about the role of ideas in your career and then be more disciplined in the way you hunt for them.
Interesting and good stuff. We've been talking to Bill Fisher, author of the book, The Idea Hunter, How to Find the Best Ideas and Make Them Happen. Bill, if people are intrigued by what they hear and they want to learn more, where would you direct them to go on the internet?
Well, they can go, of course, to any of the booksellers, Amazon or any of the others, to find the book, The Idea Hunter. My blog site is called BillUnplugged.blogspot.com. I write regularly about this. Or they can follow me on Twitter, and that would be Bill_Fisher with a C, F-I-S-C-H-E-R.
All right, that is great. And in addition to finding the book at booksellers on the internet, you can also find it here at Bank of Books, two locations to serve you, 748 East Main Street and 2682 East Main Street, both in Ventura. Bill, it has been a delight. Thank you so much for being my special guest on Brainstorming. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.